Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love, for your care, for your favor, for your grace, and your compassion for all of us, Father. We pray, Father, that today the Holy Spirit will speak to your people. Father, I am just a mere man. Without your Holy Spirit, without your anointing, I cannot do anything. Father, today I want to call the anointing, to call for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to all of us through your word, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Lately, I read this scripture and really encouraged me. In fact, God really helped me to understand about how I should speak. In the operating room, sometimes we like to tease each other. And we always make cutting remarks and talk things to get people upset. And look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. This is not part of the sermon. Just want to share. In New King James Version, the Bible says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Another version says, some people like to make cutting remarks. You understand what we're talking about. Cutting remarks means say something like a knife cutting into people's soul and hurt that soul. And they feel like it's fun. Cutting remarks. But the words of the wise soothe and heal. After God spoke to me from this scripture, I make a decision that every time my mind come up with the word that will be a cutting remarks, will be something like a knife that will cut into somebody's spirit and really hurt somebody, I need to shut my mouth and put it down. And I say, I want to be a wise man. The Bible says a wise man will speak thing that is soothing, that is healing, that is sweet. I would like to encourage husband and wife in this room to speak nice to each other, to speak sweet to each other every day. Amen. Because one of these days, you may have to eat that yourself. If you speak sweet, you're going to eat sweet thing. Sweet word come back to you. But if you make a cutting remarks all the time, it sounds like a fun thing to do, to make people upset. But in fact, you are trying to hurt people by your mouth. So when you talk to your kids, when you talk to your husband or your wife, speak it in a sweet way. Amen. How many people promise God that I will not make a cutting remarks anymore? Sometimes cutting remarks may not be in front face to face, but it may be something that go around that people talk behind the back and make people mad. Or can be email, can be letter that when you send to somebody, when you read it, you feel like somebody cut on your heart. Like, oh, wow, this is hurt. You know, so as God's people, we don't say something like that. Amen. How many people want to be wise? What the wise people do? What do? They speak things that soothe and heal. Amen. This morning I practiced that. I saw my wife walk down to the first level of my house. I say, you're beautiful today. You're so beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. Husband, turn to your wife and say, you are beautiful. Hey, you don't do it yet. Go for it. tell her you're beautiful. This should be the normal practice every day. You see your wife, you say, you're beautiful. I love you. Amen. Amen. Make it as a habit. Hallelujah. Need to look at the eyes of all this husband. Do it as your habit. Amen. As from your heart though. You're beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. Thou, you're beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't do it, who else gonna do it? You don't let somebody else in the office do it to your wife. You do it. if your wife go to work and then somebody else tell your wife you're beautiful, you're in trouble. Because you don't do it yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. That is just the sharing time. Today we're going to talk about God's best path for our life. God's best path for our life. We're going to look at the way that God will help us and look at how we should walk in the best path. How many people love the word the best? I love the word the best. We want the best. Is that right? It's very important for all of us to guard our thoughts life, because we all in a battle. Whether you know it or not, we are in a battle. And we have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Satan has a lot of evil angels working for him, and also demons working for him. And Satan will send his army come into your life. One of the most important weapons that the devil will try to do is to deceive you so that he can get you out of the path that God wants you to walk. He wants you to go to the left or go to the right or go to even the wrong path. And eventually your life end up somewhere that God doesn't want you to be. Lately, God has been impressing in my heart about this issue upon my heart that we need to really keep our life stay in the best path that God prepared for us. How many people know that God wants you to have the best? How many people know that? God wants you to get the best. God wants you to walk in the best path for your life. And there are many, many paths that we can choose or we can take. Our life is full of choices, is that right? We have choices in front of us all the time. We have many paths that we can choose. And if we are born again, definitely the final destination for us will be in heaven. But on earth here, God also has the path that we will go to that destination. We will reach that final victorious destination of our life. And God wants us to stay in that path. One way to know the path is to ask God. We need to spend time with God. We need to really get into the presence of God and ask God each day, what kind of path you want me to have or what you want me to walk? I have learned all these years that I need to get quiet with God sometime and really talk to God and listen to God. Listen to the voice of God. That's one way to listen to God, is to stay quiet in your bedroom, talk and listen and pondering and have the consciousness of God in your heart that God speak to me. Another way that God speak to us is during worship. When we come to worship in the presence of God, God begin to speak. Another way is God speak through the word. You read the Bible on a regular basis. God may speak to you through sermons. God may speak to you when you read a good Christian book. And another way that God speaks to us is to be in the fire. If you read the book of Exodus, you can see that God spoke to the children of Israel in the fire. So when you come into revival service and you get touched by God, you were laying down on the floor, and that is a good time that you just lay aside other stuff and really listen to God, because God will speak to you in His fire. We need to listen to the voice of God. And be careful, because the devil will try to deceive us to get us out of that path that God has for us. Look at the promise of God here in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 to 6. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today. You notice that listen to the voice of God. We need to really listen to the voice of our God for our own life. That the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Bible gives us the promise here that if we listen to the voice of God and walk exactly in the central will of God for our own life, if we know exactly that what we are doing right now is His will, we are in His perfect path. The Bible promised that many blessings will overtake us. Every time I read this scripture, I have this imagination that I'm walking in the street and walking in that path that God lead me. I'm walking. And as I obey the voice of God for my life, the blessing come behind me, come over me, run after me like this and try to overtake me, try to catch me and come over me. And I'm like, ooh, too much blessing. And not only that, some of the blessing, they run so fast, they run in front of me, waiting for me out there. Can you imagine? The blessing come behind me, overtake me, come over me, and then run in front of me and waiting for me. Come here, come here. I want to bless you. Wow. That's how I imagine every time I read this scripture, that if I walk in the path that God want me to walk, the blessing is all around me, over me, in front of me, behind me, everywhere. It's great. How many people want to live that kind of life? Supernatural healing, supernatural favor, supernatural strength, supernatural looking young and beautiful and healthy, supernatural joy, supernatural wisdom, supernatural finances, supernatural promotion, supernatural things of God that come around you and over you. The devil knows this, that if you walk in the best path of God, you will be blessed so much. That's why the devil, one thing he wants to do is to get you out to the right or to the left. I'm sorry, I go the wrong way. Go to the right or go to the left, and so that you will miss the blessing of God on earth here. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses. The crowd of witnesses are those Christians who already, like Moses, like Paul and Peter, who has already gone to heaven to be with the Lord. They already passed that test. They already walk in the walk of faith, and they went to heaven before us. These are witnesses in heaven. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race, or the path that we need to run, that race that is set before us. One of the versions say like this: therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great crowd of witnesses, and we run the particular race. Each and every one of us has a particular race to run. Another one say like this, another version say, let us run steadily with determination. Wow. Run steadily with determination. I'm gonna get there. The course that is mapped out for our life. God, by His mercy, He has mapped out a course for each and every one of us. God has a specific path. Perfect path. God has a specific plan and purpose for each and every one of us in this room. Are you glad to hear that? That God who created the heavens and the earth, God who called the heaven, called the stars and the moon into existence by His word, the Creator is so concerned for our life so much. He cares for each and every one of us so much. He loves us so much. We are so valuable and precious to Him so much that He would map out your own path for you. Your life already has a blueprint for you from heaven. He already wrote up the blueprint for you. It's up to you whether you're going to get that blueprint and walk in that path and get blessed or not. It's really up to you that you're going to stay in that course and not go off course or not. It's up to you whether you want to hear the voice of God and say, God, what is the path for me in my life now and next year and the year after next. It's up to us to make a choice not to listen to the devil and yield to the devil. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to warn you one thing. Sometimes the path of God is not very attractive in the beginning. It's not very attractive. The devil is so specialized in making a very nice entry way. You have choices. You have many, many ways to go in, many paths. And before you go into that path, you have to pass through the entryway. Maybe the entryway of God, it may not look very beautiful, but the end is victory. But the devil is so clever. He is so cunning. He will make an entryway for you that look very attractive, look very beautiful. Wow, flowers in front of the entryway. Beautiful, spectacular fountain spurting the water into the air. Wow, the pavement is paved so beautifully. And you look at these two entryways, or maybe many entryways, you say, what am I going to choose? And be careful. You need to spend time with God and listen to Him which path you're going to take. Because you may walk into through that entryway, the beautiful entryway, and after a few years, you ended up in the very narrow, bumpy, dirty, trashy road of sickness, curses, and problem. Not only that road is so bumpy and lots of trouble, but on the side of the road, there are dangers that if you try to pull yourself out, you get hit by robbers and bad people. The entryway looks very attractive, but inside is a path that is prepared by the enemy. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to seek God's guidance. Amen? And I cannot seek God's guidance for your life. I'm teaching you the principle. You seek God's guidance for yourself. I cannot make decision who you're going to marry to. I cannot make a decision who you're going to hang out with. I cannot make decision for you which church you're going to go. It's your own choice. It's up to you. Don't blame me. Don't blame God. Don't blame anyone. It's your own choice. We all make a choice. I'm just talking that don't blame anybody. Okay? We all make choices for ourselves. Amen? You need to understand this fact. That God is up high in heaven. When God is up high, He sees everything. He sees the whole picture. He says from the beginning to the end of your life. But we as human beings, we have very limitation in our sight. Like right now, I don't wear glasses. I cannot see clear face of the people behind the back. If they fall asleep, I will not know. Because my sight is very limited. I don't see the end. I don't see the building behind that bush there. But God is very high up there. And He sees everything, the whole picture. Is that right? So you have to be careful. Don't trust your own visual ability. Don't trust your own decision. Don't trust your own smartness or intellectual ability. But really listen to God. And ask God, what entry door you're going to go in? What path you're going to take? Because if you don't listen to God, if you do your own things, you make this decision by your own logics and your own evaluation and analysis. It may happen this way that you walk into there, and after a while, you come to the dead end. But when you come to the dead end, you find out that you already have wasted 5 years of your life. And now you have to waste another 5 years to walk back. 5 more years to walk back to the beginning and try to get into the right entry door. You see what I mean? The devil wants you to waste your time. Amen. Or maybe you walk into that entry door that the devil prepared for you, but end up what happened is like a circle. Just circle, circle, you come back to the same place again and again for many years and you go nowhere. And sometimes that entry door will lead you into the path of danger. You end up in jails. You end up having a baby without a dad. You end up having a broken marriage. Sadness. all these things because you don't listen to the voice of God. Some people waste half of their life walking the wrong path. Is it so sad? It's so sad. That's why I believe that the sermon today is very important to you. You need to listen again and again to remind yourself every single year. Give to your kids. Give to your grandkids. Let them listen so that they will not make a mistake. Amen. Listen to the word of God carefully. Sometime you may have something come to your desk. A project or an offer come to your desk. You're sitting at your work desk and then something come by, a project. Something come by that you can choose. Maybe a job with a higher pay. Maybe a new relationship. Maybe another bigger church. Beautiful building, nice choir and worship team. Wow, this is a small church. You know, we don't have much here. Some new offer come into your life. Look very attractive. When you see that offer, you see that project come in. Maybe you already have one girlfriend that give you a hard time all the time. Suddenly another woman walk by and then this lady never give you a hard time. And then you say, wow, golly, God, you know my heart. This is the answer to my prayer. But actually you haven't prayed yet. You just say, this is the answer to my prayer. I don't need to pray. This is clear. This is the will of God. And you take off 90 miles an hour. Boom! Run into that path. And 2 or 3 years later, it comes to the dead end. And you find out that you go to the wrong place. You pick up the wrong relationship. The job that you took, you lost it. And now you become unemployed. You don't walk in the main course that God wants you to walk. Because you don't listen to God. And just take off because of depending on what you see. How many people know that time is the most precious thing in your life? You agree with me? Money, you give out, it can come back. Is that right? But time, when you lose it, it will never come back. That's why it's so important before you move, you do anything. You need to listen to God and say, God, is this your perfect will or not? Spend time with God, listen to God, because you cannot get your time back. Amen? Hallelujah. The devil knows that it's very difficult to deceive you to commit a crime. You good people. It's very difficult to deceive you to go and rape somebody. It's not easy for him to deceive you to go and kill somebody. He will deceive you with small things. Little things. Just of 1 degree, not 50 degree, just 1 degree, but little by little, as you go on the wrong little small things. 10 years from now, you end up somewhere else that God doesn't want you to be. He subtly, carefully lure you, deceive you into the things that will get you off track. Of course, from God wants you to walk. Be careful, not a big things, not like go out to rob a bank, but small thing. In order to help you to understand what I'm talking about here, let me give you example. I'm going to focus example on young people. We have so many young people in this room. How many people less than 70 years old raise your hand up? Oh, a lot of young people. One time in the surgery, I was operating on a man who is about 60 years old. But my assistant, he is another neurosurgeon. He is about 62. I say like this, oh, this old man, you know, have really a lot of back problem. I came to America. I didn't know about this culture. So when I say this old man, my assistant or another neurosurgeon say, what you say again? I say, this old man. He say, you think 60 is old? I say, yes. You're wrong. I'm 62. I'm still young. Praise God. Now I learned I should not say the word old around here. I want to talk to young people here. I want to give an example and show you how the devil works to deceive people out of the cross. I'm going to go explain to you little by little. You know, the devil really studied about human for many thousand years. He knows our weakness. He knows how it works in the world. And one thing that he knows about young people is about choosing the right friends. He knows that if you hang around with the wrong kind of friend, you will be in trouble. He knows about the power of peer pressure. He knows. He knows that if your friend do something wrong, you will have tremendous pressure inside you to make yourself welcome and fit in. So what you need to do is to do wrong with them so that you will fit in to the group. Is that right? He knows all of these things. So he's going to play with your feeling. He's going to play with your thoughts now. He's going to come and attack your mind. And this is what he's going to say to you. It's okay to hang around with those bad friends in your school that get out to party all the time. Remember, they are popular kids. And you're going to be popular too. Also, by the way, God wants you to have a lot of friends. They may do wrong things once in a while. They may smoke crack cocaine once in a while. They may have some sexual activity once in a while. Don't worry about those things. You are a strong Christian. You are a member of New Hope International Church. You have good youth program. Don't worry. You can stand firm. You got the Word. You got the Holy Spirit. You have the fire of God in your church. Don't worry about those stuff. Not only that, remember this. God wants you to be the light and salt of the world. You're going to win their souls. You're going to witness to them, getting them saved. Wow, so attractive. And you're sitting there and you think, should I hang around with these bad friends who always party, have sexual relationship, and all this boyfriend that always want to grab me and grab my hand and have sex with me? Should I hang around with these people? And the devil knows the scripture. Do you know that the devil knows the scripture? You kind of making decision, should I go, should I do? Then he come again, he say, oh, you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. You have authority in the name of Jesus. You can say no when that man grab your hand and want to kiss you. Don't worry about it. You are strong in Christ Jesus. Wow, the devil did this to Adam and Eve. The devil did this to Jesus. He learned, he know how to twist the word of God. And he know how to get you by quoting scriptures. But you notice one thing why he's talking to you. He never quote this scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. He didn't quote this scripture. He quote other things. You're more than conqueror. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You need to go out and save soul. Blah, 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 blah. The enemy subtly works and try to get you off track. I'm going to go to youth group. And you think he's going to throw more idea? No. He's very, very cunning. After he throw this idea to you, he sat back and watch and observe. You yourself begin to analyze. I think this idea is good. I think I should go for it. I should hang around with those bad friends in the school. Oh, by the way, I'm the salt and the light of the world. I should do it anyway. He leave you alone. The devil will leave you alone and let you go in to that trap little by little. And you know what happened? You go in and hang around with those people. And it seemed like okay to you. Nothing happened. You think to yourself, oh, not too bad here. Not too bad. They just drink a little bit. They just have sex a little bit. I don't know, a little bit mean. But he is setting you up for the next step. And the devil watch you. Okay, you hang out with this friend. By the way, if you have boyfriend or girlfriend who try to always take advantage of you sexually, they don't really love you. You know what? If you don't marry them or him or her, how are you going to face your real husband one day? Amen. So don't listen to the devil. When a man try to, only one person can tell you, you are beautiful and I love you, is your husband. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the devil wait a little bit and see that you get into the trap already. Now he will tell you, oh, it's okay to smoke a little bit of crack cocaine. Come on, man. Everybody is doing it. Hey, man. Everybody. You're not going to backslide. You're going to be okay. You know, you're going to miss out the big part of your life. It's fun to smoke cocaine. It's fun to have sex. It's not going to hurt you. Don't worry about it. He's trying to deceive you down deeper and deeper in that road. He shows you that you will turn around easily. But you know, I tell you, you're not going to turn around easily. You're going to get deeper and deeper, and eventually you're going to end up at the destination of heartache, misery, suffering, and possibly even death, losing your own life. This is not fun. It's serious. So many good Christians, so many good kids have been deceived by the devil because they don't spend time with God and listen to God. They keep listening to the devil. They get off course or track step by step. One little step at a time. Why? Because the devil, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, be careful, watch out for attacks from the devil. Your great enemy, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. You need to differentiate between the voice of the devil and the voice of God. I want to tell you, everybody in this room, including young people, the scheme and the purpose of the enemy is to totally destroy your life to the point of death. He doesn't love you. He wants to kill you. He wants to get rid of you. He wants to get rid of your marriage. He wants to destroy your finances. He wants to destroy your health. He wants to destroy your future. Many young kids end up facing prison sentence. Many people end up having a terrible tragedy in their life. Many young kids end up having a baby without a father, become a single mom since they're young, because they listen to the devil. You have to be very careful. Don't make wrong decisions. Amen? I believe that God is raising in the end time a great army of young people. Amen. These people will be strong and mighty in the fire of God, in the word of God. Amen. I believe that our church is going to raise strong young people. I believe that there will be the people who walk around and know their right and their privilege. They will walk around know their authority. They know that Christ has paid a price for them and they have victory in Christ. Amen. They are not the one who say, oh, the devil give me a hard time all the time. No. There will be the kind of people that the devil walk in, slap on the devil's face. Slap right and left like this. And laugh about it and have fun slapping the face of the devil. This is the young people that God cannot raise in the end time. That the devil cannot deceive them or get rid of them. Amen. Hallelujah. And these people are going to walk around demonstrating the power of God and the love of God to the world. And I believe that that's going to happen to Nico, to Thomas. Amen. Amen. To Mike Kalani. Hallelujah. To all of our kids here, going to be that kind of the army of God. Amen. Our church has a purpose and has a plan to raise up strong young people. They will not yield to temptation and resist, and they will resist the devil. What I share with you about the young people all apply to all of you, maybe in a different way. The devil will not only attack young people, the devil attack you too. You know, the devil likes to attack young people because he knows that if he can get these young people waste 50 years of their life, by the time they are 55, they may lose heart and don't want to do anything with God. Some of you have been attacked. Some of you have been deceived and you waste your time. You went into the wrong path. And you turn one day, you turn 60 years old and you say, oops, I make mistake. I should have been fruitful all this year, but because I listened to the devil. And the devil will come again and deceive you again. He will say like this to you. Well, there's no use to turn around. You mess up your life already. You might as well just go on. Have you ever heard like that? Don't listen. You can turn around. You can rise up and get up again. You can serve the Lord. Turn back. Amen. Don't listen to the devil. Hallelujah. Stay in the course. Stay in the best path that God has mapped out for your life. And you will be blessed. The blessing will overtake you. Amen. Hallelujah. Friends, I want to encourage you. If you want to walk in the right path, the good path of God, the best path of God, one thing you need to do every single day. I do this every day, I tell you. I'm not kidding. I really do this. Every day, I will talk to God and pray to God. I will seek God's face. I will listen to His voice. God, am I doing what you want me to do right now, every day of my life? Am I in the center of your perfect will today or not? Or I am staying off course or track? Because I know that valuable time will never come back. I'm getting older. The time is passing away. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, 26 to 27. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or turn to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Another translation say like this. Watch your step closely. Stick straight to the path. We're talking about the path, the best path that God gives to us. Don't turn to the right, nor to the left. Don't get sidetracked. Ponder the path of your feet, and your ways will be established. Amen. Examine your life every single day. Amen. Ask God the question, am I in the center will of God? If I'm not, please adjust me. Please do some adjustment in my life. The devil will never let you go. The devil will keep coming and coming to get you off course or track. I want to warn you one thing. I watch all these years in the church. I have observed people. And I noticed that a lot of people have wasted their valuable times, years of their life, by doing 1,000 of different things. Listen to me carefully, brother and sister. Those things are good. Those things even are done in the name of God. But they do so many things that is not in the plan of God. They are so busy. Their mind are clogged up with the things in their life that they miss the perfect will of God completely. And they're very busy. Be careful. The devil is so cunning. He knows how to make you busy. I like to read a story that I read from a book. You like to hear? Okay. About the story about how Satan will attack the church. Listen carefully. I read it to you so that it will be clear. Satan called a worldwide convention. In his opening address to his evil angels, he said, "We can't keep the Christians from going to church. We cannot keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We cannot even keep them from conservative values. But we can do something else. We can keep them from forming an intimate relationship with Jesus. If they gain that connection, our power over them will be broken. So let them go to church. Let them have their conservative lifestyles, but steal their time. How can we do this?" Brother and sister, those servants, don't be too busy to the point that you don't listen to the sermon on Sunday. Walk out around there. Don't even worship God on Sunday. Be careful. That's the scheme of the enemy, to get you out of the sermon, to get you out from worship, and too busy out there walking around doing something every Sunday. "How can we do this?" shouted the angels. "Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life." invent schemes to occupy their minds. Tempt them to spend. And then borrow. Convince the wife to go to work for long hours and husband to work 6 or 7 days a week so they can afford their luxurious lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their family fragments, soon their home will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so they cannot hear that still small voice of God. Entice them to keep the radio, TV, VCR, CD, DVD, PC, internet going constantly in their home. This will jam their minds and break their union with Christ. Pound their minds 24 hours a day. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, sweepstakes, mail order catalogs, and also internet catalogs. Even in their recreation. Oh, go to vacation now. Go to vacation. This quiet and unprepared for the coming week. When they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip, small talks, so that they leave with troubled conscience and unsettled emotion. Sometimes you fellowship, instead of encouraging one another, you gossip, talking about somebody else. Let them be involved in soul winning, but crowd their life with so many good causes that they have no time to seek power from Christ. Soon, they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and their family for the good of the cause. It was quiet when all the evil angels heard this, and eventually they cheer and say, "Let's do it." My dear brothers and sisters, be careful. Busyness is not always good. If you're busy, you're busy in what God called you to do. I'm called to pastor a church. I'm called to preach. I'm called to be a husband and a dad. My first responsibility is to be a good husband to my wife, not to be a pastor. My first responsibility is to take care of my kids in my own home. If I'm too busy with the church and my kids go to hell, I fail terribly. Amen? We need to make sure that we are busy only in what God called us to do. Don't have thousands of things in our life running around doing this and doing that, and we will be in trouble. Amen? Understand the scheme of the enemy here. If you want that convention, I can give it to you later on. Read it again and again so you will not be deceived by the enemy. I want to tell you one thing. This is important. Today the message is very meaty and very important to your life. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 say, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." What the Bible tried to say is this. The best path of my life may not be the same path that you take. The path of your life and the path of my life are different. God gives us different calling and path to walk. Don't stay sidetracked. Don't get off from your calling or your own path. This is what happened. And it happened to me many years ago. I did it. You observe somebody, he is running a business. Oh, he make a lot of money. I think it sounds good. I can pay more tithe. I'm going to do business too. 2 years later, you find out that you make a wrong choice. God is not calling you to do business. God is calling you to be a teacher. You understand what I'm talking about? Then you run to another place. Oh, that's great. They do this. It's good. They are successful. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to follow the example. 2 years later, you find out, oh, I come to the dead end again. And you keep running like this all year long, all days long, that you try to be somebody else and you try to walk in somebody else's path. I give you example. I make a big mistake. Can I share with you quickly here? I went to Broken Arrow around 1998 or something like that. And I saw that they have a healing school and prayer school or something. Oh, this church has 8,000 members. I was on the airplane. I need to have a healing school. I came back home. I talked to elder. We need to have a healing school. But after a while, I find out that it's not my calling. It's not my path. God never called me to have a healing school. I should not follow other people's example. You understand what I'm talking about here? Even pastor can do that. You go to church, you visit that church, you come back home, you get excited. I want to do like that church. I think the bottom line is what God wants us to do in this church. Amen. We cannot follow other people. We cannot just copy other people. Amen. I know what God called us to do. All these years, from the first day I served God in 1982, I never forgot. God said, pastor this church, mean in Thailand. Be a good teacher. Be example. I was faithful pastoring that church, preaching, teaching, visiting people. Until one day, 3 years later in 1985, God said, I release you from this church. You have to go now to America. And I have another ministry. I came to America. I did not know what to do, but when I first came, God said, evangelize. So I set up many parties, get people in, evangelize. And by 1988, God said, start a church. And it's so clear in my heart, no question, even one bit, that God wants me to start a church. We started a church, and people come to me, you should be evangelists. Go out there, do crusade, do this, and do go to TV, go into that. I say, no, I'm not calling to TV right now. Maybe in the future. But right now, God wants me to pastor the church. I'm going to stay in my Isaac path, not Ishmael. Amen. Hallelujah. Then, year 2003, God said, go to Thailand, spread the fire of God. I obey God. I'm still praying for other country, but God hasn't opened the door yet. But I just do what God called me to do today. A few days ago, I had a chance to eat dinner with somebody that I respect so much. He told me this. He said, oh, the end time is coming. We went out to buy a big land, prepare a bunker, prepare land so that we can have fruit and raise animal there. So when the Antichrist come, we cannot use our credit card. We cannot have money in the bank. We can take all the Christian to my land, to all this big land and have bunker. And the enemy cannot kill us. Wow, seem good. You understand what I'm talking about? At one time, the charismatic church in America have the prophecy that Christ will come back around 1988 or something like that. Oh, all the, what? Something like that. Yeah. Oh, all the Christian all go out buy land and try to prepare to fight with the Antichrist because they cannot use credit card to buy things anymore. I was sitting there listening to this respectful person. God called him to do that. Praise God, and I agree with him that that is what he should do, and I praise God for his life. Nothing wrong. He is doing the right thing for his calling. That is his path. And one day I may reap that blessing because he will take me into that land too. Praise God. He said, I loved you, and if something happened, you will be in my bunker. Praise the Lord. How about my church too? Come together. Let's gonna go to that bunker together so that we can raise animal and we don't have to go buy from QFC anymore because we cannot use our credit card. Thank God for his calling. That is his calling. Is that right? Good. But when I was listening to him, I heard the voice of God in my heart all the time. I'm calling you to pastor the church, make disciples, spread the fire of God, and go to the nations. Let him do whatever I call him to do. Don't go out and buy the land, okay? It's not your calling. I'm not going out buy the land and build bunker. My calling is to be a preacher and pastor and spread the fire of God and the word of God. And not only that, he said, keep making CD. Keep producing a lot of CD. Send to Thailand. Send to Thailand. I got the email 2 days ago that somebody in Thailand listened to our Thai CD about healing. I make 4 CD of healing that when people listen, they will have faith. Somebody emailed me that somebody got healed while listening to the CD. Praise God. That's my calling. That's my path. I am not Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. I am not Pastor Kenneth Hagin. You are not Benny Hinn, and I'm not Benny Hinn. I'm not Pastor Window Smith. I'm not a Bible school teacher. I am a pastor. Amen. That's my best path. And that's why I am blessed. Amen. The blessings are over me because I walk in the best path of my life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you okay? Amen. Do you learn something? Let me go on a little bit and I close this teaching. Sometime as we walk in that path, some people may offer you something very attractive. Better pay, better position, better deal. Everything look good, look better. But you go home and then you pray about it. But you don't feel the release. You don't feel the release inside that you should take that offer. Now you have to choose between obeying God or you're obeying your own intellectual, logical indecision. You understand what I'm talking about? Maybe that offer. I give you an example. A lot of people email me from Africa and from India. Come here and preach. Come here, we're going to join you. Wow, very attractive offer. Now our website will have more churches to join. I can put in my resume. Pastor Lau went to India. Pastor Lau went to Africa. Blah, 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 blah. Wow, great resume. But I sit down and pray to God. God, do you want me to go to India now? Do you want me to go to Africa now? I ask God. I don't want to take the offer without talking to you. God say, no. It's not the time. You focus on what I am telling to you right now. Don't move. Don't get off track. Don't go to the left or to the right. Stay on the right track. You know why? Because God has his own timetable. The Bible says he will exalt you at due season or due time. I want to encourage you one thing. You need to differentiate between perfect will and distractions. God has perfect will for you, but the devil will throw in distractions. And this distraction can come two ways, negative way and positive way. Negative way such as sickness, problem, trials, distress, something bad happen in your life that you get distracted. I like what Paul say. Paul say like this, nothing can move me. And one day when I read that scripture, God speaking to me. You know, when Paul say nothing can move me, it can be both ways. Can be bad distress and attack to him. Or can be very attractive offer. Bigger money. Good job. Bigger church. Somebody may offer me, oh, go to this church. We have 5,000 members. Come pastor here. Leave New Hope International. They can survive. Don't worry. Pastor Cesar can take care. You think it's a good idea? Get a big offer. I need to go back to God and say, what you want me to do? Distraction will get us off course and waste our valuable times in life. Be careful with distraction. Amen. Evaluate every opportunity. Single woman, if a man show up in your life, pray carefully. Don't take it right away. Evaluate every opportunity. Don't worry about it. Our God is a big God. You may feel that, oh, I have lost that handsome, rich, smart, high educated man. He should have married me. I lost him. But I want to tell you, the better one is coming on the corner. If you trust God and you say, nothing can move me. My God still sits on the throne and He knows my need. And I'm going to walk in the best path of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let those things overwhelm you. Don't let the devil shift you to the right or left. Stay in the course of God. When Jesus came into the world, Jesus really set His mind. He said, not my will, but your will. I'm going to walk in the path of the Father to the end. This is the prophecy about Jesus. Look at what He said in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. He said like this, for the Lord God will help me, capital M. You notice that? Mean Jesus. Mean the Messiah, the Son of God, or the Christ. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. What does it mean, flint? I opened a dictionary yesterday. The stone, very strong stone that you light a fire. That's a flint, very strong. So He said, I set my face like a flint, like a fire. I'm going to make fire happen in front of me, and I'm going to stand on the course. I will not go to the right or the left, no matter what the devil offered to me, offer stone to be bread, offer the kingdom of the world. I'm going to stand on my course to the end. And that's what I want to encourage all of you today. That on that day, the last day of your life, you will be able to stand before the Father and say, I fight the good fight of faith, and I have finished my race. Don't get distracted. Don't get sidetracked. Stay in the best path that God has for you. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage all of you to really spend time with God, read the Bible, really make sure that you listen to the voice of God. Don't listen to the devil. Sometimes even man's advice can be wrong. You know, when I listen to man's advice, sometimes I come home and have to really ponder, is that God's will? One time, the Lord told me that you need to choose my Holy Spirit. And when I make that choice, I have to lose a lot of friends. I talked to Pastor Da, say, you know, we have to choose the Holy Spirit. Not methodology, not human organization. My body was in pain every night. I was crying in the bed. And God kept telling me, you need to obey me. Choose the Holy Spirit. And I did. It's very painful. I lost all the friends, people that I love so much, don't want to be my friend anymore. Because I chose the file of God. But now, 3 years later, I know and I know that I make the right choice. Amen. I stay in the course. If it doesn't happen to you here, I understand. But I know for sure our loved one in Thailand have gone to church so many years. Their relationship got worse and worse. And they are worship leader in Thailand, in another church. Their relationship got worse and worse and worse. Their kids start to go into big trouble. Demonic. They get into deeper debt. Until we bring the file of God to Thailand. Now this family, restore. Financially, it's being restored. The debt start to get paid off. The kids, she just talked to the kids 2 days ago. Talk very nice. The kid even took the bus to go to church now. When I heard this kind of testimony, I know that it's worth it to lose those friends, to choose the file of God, to save those people. Because you know what? Nothing can change you. Let me read this scripture and I'll close the sermon. We all have to make choice. And sometimes that choice, that entry point may look very scary. Because you have to give up something. I want to read from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. God asked me to read it to you today. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden means something on the shoulder. His means the devil, the burden of the enemy, will be taken away from your shoulder. And his yoke, something wrapped around your neck, from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. So it's important to choose the Holy Spirit. The Bible said the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will rise up as a standard before him. That's why I choose the Holy Spirit, not organization. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to see our member get set free. I want to tell you one thing. I love you so much. I love every member here. I want to see you blessed, successful, healthy. Your kids are blessed. Your kids love God. You get promotion. You become victorious. That's my heart desire. Amen. What I can do is to just offer the option to you and you make a choice. It's up to you whether you choose it or not. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to end this sermon by giving the chance to those people. And those people may not be in this room, maybe watching this through the internet, or maybe listening to this sermon through the MP3 or iPod or in the CD. I want to give this opportunity to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I would like to invite you to come to know Christ and give your life to Jesus. Jesus wants to give you abundant life. He came and died for you on the cross to pay for your sin. Very simple. I did that 25 years ago. You should say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. If you are people who don't know Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to invite him into your life. Just bow your heads and pray with me and ask God to come into your life. Pray with me right now. Father in heaven, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus into this world to die on the cross to pay for my sin. Today I repent. I turn away from my ways and want to walk in your ways. I want to follow you, Lord. Jesus, come into my life right now. Become my God. I give my life to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the mighty hand of praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.